In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I saw something recently, some secular wisdom. Sometimes secular wisdom is perfect wisdom, sometimes, because God can cause anyone to say the truth. He once made a donkey tell the truth, right? So he can make a scientist tell the truth. In the case of Linus Pauling, he said this, he's known for this quote, that we should always do 120% better than anyone does for us to correct for subjective error. How about that? Huh? How about that for secular wisdom? How about that for godly wisdom? Huh? We have subjective error, right? We think things about ourselves that are not true. We might inflate our own worth, or we might actually think more poorly of ourselves than we really are. We might definitely think more poorly of people than they are. We judge them for things, something that they've done. We might think it's on a scale of 1 to 10, a 9.9, when actually it's not such a problem. Perhaps it's something that they've repented of. So subjective error is constantly in our life because of our pride, because of our passions. Aren't we trying to get rid of subjective error during Great Lent? I mean, that's not a very sort of pious way to say it, right? That's sort of a scientific way to say it. But isn't that what we're trying to do? We're trying to get rid of subjective error. We're trying to see things as they really are. That's what I hope you're doing during Great Lent. Because if you're just trying to fast and do whatever, you won't have a good Great Lent. The good Great Lent is when you're trying to change. You're trying to open up your heart just a little bit, and God will come into that crack. And he'll help widen that crack so there'll be more light in your heart. And you get rid of some of that subjective error. But what an idea that we throw this idea of fairness out the window. Instead of saying, well, you know, I get a piece of candy and you get a piece of candy. How about if I give you both pieces of candy? That's Christianity, okay? And we can see examples of that in the lives of the saints sometimes, where a saint has gone without for other people. Even though he had a need, you might be able to justify that he also needed water or he also needed food or rest, and yet he went without those things. St. John of Shanghai and San Francisco probably never slept at night when he was in the Philippines. He was going all over blessing all the places where people were because this was an area where there were typhoons. And a typhoon could level the island. And in fact, it did after they left it. And I think they were in it, I could be wrong, maybe 3 years. No typhoons, nothing destroyed the island. And then it was leveled. Where the people were living was leveled. There would have been immense loss of life, property. They would have been set back terribly. So he went without sleep. Other people, they were sawing wood. But he went without sleep because he didn't care about if it was fair that he was tired in the morning. He didn't have any subjective error. Isn't that wonderful? So I think we should apply that to when people have wronged us. Well, let's just say if we think they've wronged us, let's take 20% off the top right away, huh? And actually, it'd be better if you take 100% off the top. And if you are trying to be fair, you know, you do something and somebody else does something and it's fair, don't try to be fair. Try to do at least 20% more. Isn't that a wonderful way to live your life? To just try to give more than another person gives? Not as any kind of competition or anything, but just because of the loveliness of being a Christian. I've told you this story before. It's from a book that I bought for all of my family, but nobody's told me anything about reading it. I bought one for each person in the family. Not each person, but each family. About this wonderful nun. And one of the things that she did, she was an abbess. And there was some sister who had some problem. I don't remember what it was. It might have been anger. It might have been something. But she was really consumed with this passion. So she decided on a given day, I don't remember what day it was, she would fast. I think it was that she was disobedient about drinking water. They had a rule in that monastery that you don't drink water without a blessing. But she would always be drinking water, saying she's too thirsty and everything. So this abbess went without water on a given day, the entire day, as an offering to God for this sister. That's having zero subjective error. That's just being filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's the kind of thing that we want to become, the kind of person we want to become in Great Lent. A person that just sees good in people, even when they're bad, and is not angry when we are wronged, and doesn't make comparisons, and doesn't say, well, this person does this, and that person does that, I'm better at this, maybe I'm worse at that, and it makes me mad that I'm worse at that. None of those things. Just living just with clarity, and with no facade, and not putting on airs, just being blatantly honest, and just being blatantly good. Wouldn't that be wonderful? To have no error in our judgment? That's what we're trying to obtain. That, indeed, if you had zero error in your judgment, I'm not talking about whether or not you can add well or something. I don't care about that. I'm talking about zero error in your emotional judgment, in your emotional fitness. You have obtained theosis. Congratulations. If you have no subjective error. So that's what we're trying to get. It might be a funny way to say it, but that's what we're trying to do. So this Great Lent, people say, what are you trying to do this Great Lent? Some people say, well, I'm trying to read all of the latter. And other people are saying, well, I want to read all of Isaiah. Or somebody says that I want to really keep the fast well, or do this prayer of St. Ephrem every day. You say, I'm trying to have zero subjective error. See what they look, how they look at you. And then explain what it means. God bless you. The blessing of the Lord is upon you, be upon you through his grace and love for mankind, always, now, and ever, and unto the ages of ages.